lift up Tony and the team that's in Kenya. We pray that you would continue to bless the work that's going on there, Lord. Continue to keep them healthy and safe and protected. As the gospel is preached even this evening there, Lord, we pray that you would move hearts to receive Jesus Christ. We pray that you would move in a mighty way and bring in the rest of the family tonight. We pray. And also, Father, at this time, we lift up this next hour to you, Lord. We ask that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be open to your word, that you convict us of any sin, and cause us to become hungry and thirsty for your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. All right. So the title today is producing the seven specific things to help you produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, the last time, a month ago when I taught, we looked in depth at the walk of what was termed walking in the flesh. And we used Galatians 5 as a list to examine our own selves to see whether or not we're walking in the faith. And also a quick reminder, well, I'll get to that. We use Galatians 5 for that list. Now, list, again, for Christians, it's not about fulfilling a list. That doesn't save you. It's just a tool for examination. We are saved by grace through faith, and even that's not of ourselves. It's a gift from God. So we need to keep that in mind. And we did go in-depth into the fleshly nature, something we're going to bypass here today. So hopefully you can draw on your memory from the last time. I mentioned a civil war that takes place in a Christian's heart. There's a battle going on there. And the only way to have peace is for someone to surrender. And so I would invite you to learn how to surrender to the Holy Spirit. And then a reminder, a shocking reminder to all of us, that those who walk in the flesh continuously will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that should scare us. That should bother us a little bit. If you're constantly walking, practicing, walking in the flesh, you're not going to see God's kingdom. And so that's serious stuff. That's eternal stuff. And I want to not only further his kingdom, but I want to be in it, and I want to be a part of it for eternity. I don't know about you. Now, again, those who walk in the flesh will not inherit. So I also mentioned a couple necessary components last month, which was, and we found in this text, was that we need to crucify the flesh. That's one of the necessary components to producing fruit, is that you have to crucify your flesh. And then the other aspect of that, what we found in John 15, was abiding in Christ, in John chapter 15. And so we went there, and we're going to be there, but we'll have the scriptures up here on the board for that. So in this study, I want to add to that list of components, because I think it's more in depth than just those two things. But I would say that those two things, you know, is like an umbrella that covers most of the aspects of what's required to produce the fruit. Now, just like any fruit tree needs pollination, right kind of soil, right amount of sun, light, shade, temperatures, moistures, there's a process there to produce fruit. And right now we have fruit trees in our yard here that have fruit on them, but they don't have fruit on them all the time. They produce fruit in season. And so the rest of the year, you know, in the wintertime, it doesn't even look like it's alive, the tree. But I assure you there's things going on under the surface that we can't see that's preparing the next batch of fruit. And that same process kind of happens in our life. Now, to make the point to produce fruit, it does take time. Okay, and we'll talk about that. You can mark that down as number one on your list of the seven things, is time with Jesus, and we'll get more into that. But to show you that this is a process, I have a guy I like to read, Martin Lloyd-Jones. I don't know about you guys. Great author and pastor of days gone by. He's with the Lord now. But he said this, he said, the fruit of the Spirit is a process. This is the result of the indirect, constant, regular work of the Spirit within us as he uses the word, teaching, and examples of others and fellowship with others. Thus, the fruit of the Spirit is produced in us. Not suddenly. That is a whole gradual process of sanctification. And, you know, when you consider the gifts of the Spirit, those kind of come suddenly. But the fruit, it takes a little bit more time. And but it is a process. And so we need to consider this process so that we might produce the fruit. Now in Genesis 2:15, it says, the Lord God took man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. The Garden of Eden was a place for fellowship between man and God. If you remember, the mandate that God gave to Adam was to tend and keep the garden, but also to put the rest of the earth under dominion, under God's kingdom. And so there's a couple of things going on there, but Adam's requirement was to tend and to keep that garden where God was going to fellowship with mankind. And so that's part of our responsibility as Christians, is that we need to tend and to keep, to protect, to cause to increase or to grow that garden in such a way that we're having effective communication with God. Does that make sense to you guys? So it's our responsibility to do this, to stay in contact with our Lord. God gave Adam these responsibilities, and we have the same responsibilities. And so how is that going? Are you tending and keeping that garden? Is your prayer life, is your time with the Lord, is it like the Garden of Eden? You know, is it fruitful? Is there fruit coming out of that? And if it's not, it could be because you're lacking some of these things that we're going to talk about today. But the very first thing is quality of time. And I know people say, well, you know, I have a good, quantity of time. I said that wrong. Some people say that, you know, well, I have a good 15 minutes with the Lord. Well, is 15 minutes really enough if you're going to be in the world the rest of the day? I don't know about you, but that doesn't seem, you know, if the disciples only spent 15 minutes a day with Jesus, how would their walk be? You know, I don't think it would be as impactful as it was. It requires quantity of time to be with the Lord. And that's also under the umbrella of abiding in Christ. So and if you asked any parent in here who's homeschooled, they can tell you that quantity of time is essential to be under their influence for their kids. And yet we put our kids in, you know, we have them for half an hour every evening or whatever, but the whole day they belong to the world. And how much influence does a parent really have in this day and age when their kids are in the world most, you know, 8-9 hours a day, and then they come home and do homework and whatnot? And so the influence is very limited in this day and age, and we need to increase that time by which we're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. So I hope you consider that. Now, let's look at Galatians 5:16 and review a little bit here from last month. Verse 16, it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Remember, if from that study, I said that if you're doing one, you can't do the other. Again, it's a civil war that's taking place within our hearts. So understand that if you're walking in the flesh, you can't walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there needs to be a surrender there. But we need to be under the influence of the Spirit. Now, the word walk is a verb, obviously, which means to be moving forward, progressing. Again, there's a process, progress that needs to take place. And walk, to walk means to live in the Spirit, to go place to place in the Spirit. And I know, you know, early on in my walk, I kind of stopped praying, you know, and finished my prayers with amen, because it was like hanging up the phone, you know. And I would then go about my business in the world, and it was like, you know, I left Christ back there in my prayer closet, and he wasn't with me. And so I kind of stopped saying amen after a while because I wanted to take him wherever I went. And that's, again, called abiding in Christ. Are you taking Christ everywhere you go, even on the computer, places where you go there? So pray about that. Are you under his leadership? Does he have his say in the matters of your life? That is essential. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. Again, there's this civil war that's taking place. If one side would surrender, there's peace. And you need to surrender. We need to learn how to surrender up our fleshly nature, but our wills to the Lord's will. And that is, again, essential for producing fruit. So, but if you are led by the Spirit, next verse, you are not under the law. Again, to be led is to be under the influence of. You know, a lot of times you'll hear people, Christians, comment about another person saying, man, that guy's really led by the Holy Spirit. Or they might say, he's really Spirit-filled. Or she's very Spirit-filled. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we want. That's what we hope to be under 24 hours a day, or at least every waking moment, is to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you, which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, again, we looked at these in depth last month, and if you missed that study, I suggest you go back and take a look at that again. It can be pretty heavy. I know that the feeling in here after that service was it felt heavy, and that wasn't my intent, but you know, if you're walking in the flesh and you become aware of it, you know, it's pretty heavy stuff. So I don't want to be that heavy today, for sure. So that was never my intent. But moving on. So again, in depth, we looked at those fleshly natures, or the nature of the flesh. So, and again, a reminder that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom. Galatians 5:22 through 25, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. And let me add this. It's supernatural love. You see, humans have love. You know, you were born with, mothers give birth and they automatically love their kids. There is a human love, but there is also a supernatural love, and that's what we're after, the supernatural love. We want to see supernatural joy come out of our lives, supernatural peace, supernatural long-suffering, kindness, etc. Okay? That's what we want to see, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. It's supernatural, and we need to tap into that supernatural love that Christ has for us and for the world. Verse 24, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Again, that's a major thing. In order to be able to produce this fruit, is it starts out with you crucifying that fleshly nature on a day-by-day basis. And I think, you know, like I said in that other study, that from the moment you wake up, you need to look in the mirror and point your finger at that flesh and say no, and start saying no, and keep saying no throughout the day so that it doesn't rear its ugly head. And you crucify that flesh. And that's part of the problem, is we're going to have this battle throughout our life here on earth. There's a day coming, praise God, that we're no longer going to have that civil war within us, that we will be walking perfectly in the kingdom in God's will. And I can't wait for that day. I don't know about you. But, you know, we do need to keep saying no to our selfish will. So the next verse, it says, if, or in other words, since we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So, the byproduct of being led by the Holy Spirit is the fruit that was mentioned. Again, a supernatural love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And the key component to producing this fruit is crucifying the fleshly passions and desires. You need to place that flesh, that nature, on the altar. Okay? John 15, we looked at abiding in Christ. John 15:1 says, I am the vine, I am the true vine, my Father is the vine dresser. So Jesus is the vine, and the Father is the farmer, so to speak, who does the cutting. And verse 2, it says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You see, God wants fruit to come out of your life. And, you know, the end result is that if the fruit that we produce, it should be producing other trees. That's what fruit does. It has seeds in it. And it produces fruit, and hopefully, eventually, it will produce other believers in this case from the fruit that comes out of our life. And that's what we want to have happen. That's the only way that that others can get saved, by seeing us have this fruit, this supernatural fruit, come out of our lives. Now, the Father prunes us that we may bear more fruit. All right? The sinful nature is what we offer up. But you know what? There are some things in our lives that are like sucker shoots. I don't know if you, anybody have fruit trees in here? There are certain limbs that seem to take off, and they use up all the moisture, and yet they don't produce any fruit. You know, it's not necessarily sinful things in our life that keeps us from producing fruit, but it may be other hobbies or things that we're involved with that use up all the resources that we would normally have for God. And you know what? God may want to take that out of your life. If you keep saying, well, you know, I don't have time to study the Bible, and I don't have time to pray, and this and that, you know what? That's an obvious sign that you have something involved in your life that's taking time from God, and that will inhibit you or quench the Holy Spirit from producing the fruit in your life. And so you need to pray about those things that may be taking too much time from you to be able to be in the Word and worshiping and praying. And that's something you need to pray about and possibly offer up to the altar of God. Now, these sucker branches, again, they take a lot of resources away from the tree to produce that fruit. And it's that fruit, that moisture is vital to produce that fruit. So again, pray about those things that may be taking up your time or your resources as it relates to having time with God. Again, it is quantity of time, not quality. The more time we give to the Lord, the more we abide in Him, and the more He can produce in me. Question again, how much time do you really give the Lord every day? How much time do you abide in Christ? Remember what Jesus said in John 15:5. He said, without me, you can do nothing. Verse 6, it says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. There's a sense of continuous contact. When you look at that whole chapter, the beginning of that chapter, again, there's a continuous, we got to stay attached to Jesus. It's a continuous abiding is what is essential to be able to produce that fruit. If we're only doing it from time to time, or there's a break in that time, you know, again, our ability to produce fruit is going to be limited. So we need to stay connected throughout the day to Christ. There's, again, a sense of continuous contact, continuously bringing Jesus into everything that we do, say, think, no matter what the circumstance. John 15:7-8 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruits, so you will be my disciples. You know, bearing fruit brings glory and honor to God the Father. And that's our purpose here, is to bring glory to God. He's created us for this purpose. The church needs to be producing this fruit that the world would be saved. It's the fruit tree doesn't partake of the fruit. It produces it. You know, it's the world that takes part of the fruit. It's not for you to enjoy, it's for the world to enjoy. And we need to remember that. All right, now we're getting to our list, and we've already started. We're going to get to the rest of the list here. Number one, again, is the quantity of time, not quality. How much time are you actually abiding in Christ? So the seven necessary components to producing the fruit of the Spirit, again, number one is continuously abiding in Jesus. Number two, you must have faith in God. Number three, you must have a hunger for the Spirit, a hunger for God. Number four, you must sanctify yourself. God's already sanctified you for himself, but you need to sanctify God for and yourself for God. All right? You must renew your mind. In other words, be filled with the Word of God. You have to be filled with the Word of God. You must have, number six, a thankful heart. And number seven, you must obey or submit to God's will. If you lack any one of these, you will hinder that production of the fruit of the Spirit. So remember that. And again, I talked about time, number one. Number two is you must have faith. You must be born again. If you're not born again, you have no capacity whatsoever to produce this supernatural fruit. You can have human love, but you won't have God's love. Now, Hebrews 11:6 says that, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. You must believe in God, but it's more than that, and you must believe the gospel. Now, I started out last month's study with the gospel. I'm going to do it again right here, because this is essential. In 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, he says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Old Testament, and that he was buried, and that he was rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. All right? If you don't believe this, you do not have the potential to even produce this supernatural love. It starts with believing on Christ. And when you do, when you put your faith, at that moment, the Holy Spirit moves into your heart, and then you have the potential to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But if you don't put your faith in Christ, if you don't believe the gospel, you have no capacity to be able to produce this fruit that we're talking about. You have no clue. So 1 John 5:1 says, whoever believes that Jesus is Christ is born of God. So believing that Jesus did come as the Christ and died for our sins and was resurrected on the third day, that's what brings about our second birth. Ephesians 1:13-14 says, in him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. The moment, again, you believe on Christ, the Holy Spirit moves into your heart, and you now have the potential to be possessed by the Holy Spirit. But you got to want to. He's a perfect gentleman. He will not do anything that you are not comfortable with. And if you are walking in the flesh, you cannot produce this fruit. He'll stand back. You might turn left or run ahead or lag behind, but he's going to wait for you to come back to where he's at so that you can walk with him and be under his influence to be able to produce this fruit. Now, again, just if there's anybody in the room that doesn't know Christ, you don't have that potential. But if you want it, I can tell you, I just told you how to get it. So there you go. The third thing, again, on our list is here is a hunger for the Spirit. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, we are incapable of producing any righteous works without the Holy Spirit. So, in a sense, where it says here, hunger and thirst for righteousness, it really is saying hunger and thirst for the Holy Spirit. and you shall be filled. Now, how hungry are you for the Holy Spirit? How hungry are you to produce this fruit? And I believe that your hunger, let me put it this way, I believe that the amount of fruit produced out of your life is equal to your hunger for the Holy Spirit to produce it in your life. If you have a deep or a great hunger for the kingdom of God and to produce this fruit, you're going to be like a vessel that increases its capacity. The more you hunger and thirst for God, the more ability you have to produce that fruit. And we want to be massive fruit tree, fruit producers. And so if you don't have a real hunger for the Lord, it's doubtful that you're going to be able to produce a lot. You might produce some fruit, but you will not be able to produce the fruit or increase your potential to produce that fruit. So how hungry are you for the Lord? David in Psalm 63:1 says, "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." Do you have a David-like thirst and hunger for God? I believe you will only be filled according to the hunger and thirst you have. So you need to pray. I have to pray, God, make me hungry for you. And I think that should be all of our prayer. And again, if you don't have that hunger, you can produce fruit, but it won't be to the degree based on how hungry you are. Now, Andrew Murray, another great writer, he wrote, "You can't expect to be filled with the Holy Spirit unless you want to live for Christ's kingdom. It's all about his kingdom and producing that fruit." How hungry are you for the Holy Spirit to do that in you? All right, moving on. You must, number four, sanctify yourself. In other words, die to self. Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." In order to produce the fruit, you must die. That fleshly nature has to die. Your will has to die to God's. And if yours is constantly having his way, again, he's a perfect gentleman. He'll let your will be done, but he would rather that, his will be done. And so is that happening? Are you presenting yourself on a daily basis? Are you making a conscious effort to crucify that flesh? I hope so. Galatians 5:24 says, "And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." There's a crucifixion that needs to take place in your spiritual life. Okay, this is presenting yourself as that living sacrifice. Luke 9:23-24 says, Jesus is speaking. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." I mean, it's an awesome thing when we lose our life that Jesus replaces that with his life in us, and that is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So, and I believe, again, once again, I have to make a conscious effort about this in the morning. First thing I wake up, I got to start sacrificing my will at the moment, first conscious moment I have. And I got to do that throughout the rest of the day. And there's a struggle sometimes. God keeps showing me that I still have a fleshly nature and that it needs to be crucified. And he does that through tribulations and trials. And, I hate it when I fail the Lord. And it's usually through tribulations. That's where we need to produce the fruit the most. That's where the supernatural fruit needs to come out of our lives. It's during our trials and tribulations. And oftentimes what you get when I have trials and tribulations, you get me instead of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And that's unfortunate for God's kingdom. Number five, you must renew your mind. Again, Romans 12:2, it says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." reading, studying, memorizing, chewing on the word constantly. You know, you got to remember that when you came out of the world, you had the mind of the world. And now you have available to you the mind of Christ and the mind of the Holy Spirit. But it requires you to replace that mind. And so we've got to stay in the word. We've got to hunger for the word. We've got to study it, not just read it, not just hear it. We need to do it as well. Otherwise, you're deceiving yourself, as James talked about. Now, the world has, it's brainwashed us with dirty water from the very beginning. And so we have to change that filter, and the filter is our mind, and we have to have our minds changed and washed in the water of the Word. Colossians 3:16, it says, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." Now, you got to remember, in the early church, all they had was the Old Testament. They were writing the New Testament, day by day. And so really what was available to most everybody was the Old Testament if they had a synagogue near them. And now we have the New Testament available to us as a resource. And yet we have more resources available to us now than at any time in history, the church, meaning the church. And we are the weakest that we've ever been. And it shouldn't be that way. We have all these resources to be able to study the word and chew it up, and all these great teachers. And are we taking advantage of the resources that God has given us? I sure hope so. Number six, and this is important, you must have they're all important, but you have to have a thankful heart. Wednesday night, I don't know if you guys were here, but Pastor Troy Stokoe from Tucson was here, and he taught on Numbers 21, and we recently were in Numbers, but his study was awesome. I hope you go back and on the computer or get one of the discs of Wednesday night's study. I was spanked there, but I was also super encouraged with his message. And he has such a sweet way about him when he delivers the word. For some reason, you enjoy the discipline. And I was disciplined on Wednesday night, so I hope, and his message ties right into this. When you look at Numbers 21 and when you look at Israel, after they had been set free from Egypt, and then they started wandering in that wilderness, that first generation couldn't enter in because of two main reasons. One, they didn't have faith in God. And number two, they were thankless. They didn't appreciate what God was doing for them by the manna and the water coming from the rock and the supernatural provisions that God was giving them. They were unthankful. And when you consider that when the spies went into the land and they came back, what did they come back with? They came back with incredible fruit from the land, right? And so that first generation, even though they got to see the fruit, they didn't get to experience that fruit. So if you have an unthankful heart, you will not produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit. So how is that going for you? Have you been thankful for everything that's going on in your life, even the bad things? Have you been thankful for those things? Because Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." You know, they're not good things that happen to us sometimes, but God works them out for our benefit. And it takes faith to believe that whatever's happened to you right now that's bad, it's bad, but God is using that to benefit you in some way, and just trust him through that. Believe and then be thankful to him for what he's working in that situation. We need to have a thankful, appreciative heart towards God. Are you able to thank God in the dark times? If not, you're hindering the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You know, there is that thing called quenching the Spirit. If we're not going to be thankful about what God's given us, especially living in this country with all the physical things, but even thankful for the spiritual gifts he's given us and being able to produce that fruit. I mean, if we're not thankful, then we're going to quench the power of the Holy Spirit to produce that fruit in our lives. Psalm 100, 4 and 5 says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." I mean, that right there, just his grace and mercy that he saved you, saved me. We should every day wake up with a thankful heart towards God. And, you know, I was thinking that we here at Calvary Chapel, we start out with praise and music, praise and worship songs. And that's what we try to do is to get our hearts right before God to receive the word and to have that washing of our mind. And that's why we focus, too, on the word so much here at Calvary Chapel is because of what it accomplishes in our lives. It is what's going to produce that fruit of the Holy Spirit. Number 7, you must obey the Lord. You must submit to the word. Obedience is huge. Now, you could. I'm going to read you, and it'll be up there on the board too. 1 John 5, 2 and 4, 2 through 4. But any chapter in John, 1 John would have been good to put here, but I chose these. And it says, verse 2: "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith." Now, 1 John 3:24 says, "Now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him." And if you go back to John 15, Jesus says it clearly, that you must obey him in order to abide in him. Well, if you don't know his word, how can you abide in him? And if you're not obeying his word, or your pastor, or your wife, or your husband, you know, it says in the scriptures to obey one another out of fear and reverence for the Lord. We need to be submitting and obeying the word of God. Now, I've heard Tony teach for years now, and I've never heard him teach anything incorrect. And when he tells us, from the word, that when someone offends us, that we need to go to that person and, you know, be reconciled to them, why don't we obey what he tells us to do? You know, we need to be obedient to our pastor and to other brothers and sisters in Christ. Obedience is huge in order to produce this fruit of the Holy Spirit. Now, I want to finish with Ephesians chapter 5, and you can turn there. 18, well, I think we'll have it up on the board there. We find several of these points that I've brought out here in these verses right here. And it says in verse 18, Ephesians 5, 18, it says, "And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." In other words, don't be under the influence of wine, but be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. You have a choice in this. But depending on how you choose, you may hinder the Holy Spirit and choose poorly and not be able to produce the fruit. All right? Do not be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There it is, thankfulness again. The word, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And verse 21, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It is required to be able to produce the fruit. How's that going for you? Now, again, this, when you look at what Paul's writing here, it's a command and exhortation. He's commanding us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Why don't we choose it? Why aren't we choosing to be influenced and under the influence of the Holy Spirit moment by moment? And we need to be doing that. We need to speak to one another the word of God. We need to be thankful again. We need to be submitting and obeying. Now, going back through my list here, here, just so that if you're taking notes, you can write this down. Number one, you need to spend quantity time praising, worshiping, reading the Word, spending as much time as you can possibly have under the influence of Jesus Christ. Number two, you need to have faith. Number three, you need to hunger for the Holy Spirit. How hungry are you? You need to place all that is self on the altar and pick up your cross daily. You need to have your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word. You need to be thankful in all things. And number seven, you need to obey the Holy Spirit. If you do those things, you will produce, or what will be produced out of your life is that supernatural love that we're going to look at next week. Now, Francis Chan, he's another favorite author of mine and pastor, he wrote this. He said, even people who are natural leaders don't get to lead the Spirit. Everyone is called to be led by Him. Let the Holy Spirit lead you into the promised land where the fruit's at. All right? Amen? All right, let's stand and pray. Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you that you want to produce even more fruit from our lives and that you want to prune us. And Father, I pray that each one of us would consider that we would look at these seven things to produce your fruit, Lord. And Father, we pray and we know, we trust you that you will produce this fruit in our lives. And we do ask you, Lord, though, for a hunger and a thirst for your righteousness, for your Holy Spirit, for you. And help us to wash our minds in your word daily and say no to that ugly flesh, Lord God. Father, your word declares us as overcomers if we do this. And we want to be overcomers of this world, Lord. And we want to produce the fruit of the Holy Spirit that the world might see it and be saved by it and desire it themselves. Father, cause this in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's